What is the sparkling mirror reflecting even invisible images? The firm yoga of serenity, not disturbed by lethargy or laxity or excitement. Okay, so what is the sparkling mirror reflecting even invisible images? The firm yoga of serenity, not disturbed by laxity or excitement. Okay, so you want to know the sparkling mirror. Yeah, well, the mind is like a mirror, isn't it? When the mind is focused and there's concentration, then it's much easier for the mind to know an object and reflect that object in the way that a mirror reflects the object. When our mind is clouded with afflictions and distractions and opinions and everything else, it can't reflect anything except the garbage that is, you know, we're churning up in our own mind. Okay, so when our mind is more concentrated, then it's more peaceful. It can see things more clearly. Yeah, so for example, if you want to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness, yeah, having a concentrated mind that can stay on the object for some period of time is very helpful for doing that. Yeah, because first you have to figure out what the object is, yeah, and then stay on it. Okay. Also, because concentration, in terms of the perfections, I usually call it meditative stability. It doesn't eliminate the afflictions, but it suppresses them temporarily. Okay, so it's very good in that way too, because it just gives you more clarity of mind to be able to, you know, think about the Dharma and meditate and so on, because the very gross afflictions are not plaguing the mind. Of course, to generate serenity, we need special conditions. It's, you know, we can improve our concentration in our daily meditation, but to really develop full-fledged serenity, that, you know, a retreat situation with limited contact to other things is really essential. Yeah, but still, developing whatever concentration we can is certainly helpful, because as we know, when our mind is full of rubbish, yeah, there's no meditation object in sight anywhere. Yeah, in fact, we can't even look, you know, if I said look at the red of this very long, you know, when our mind is focused, is full of garbage, we can't even stay looking at the red. Soon, you know, a direct perception, our mind is soon going to be, well, I don't know if I like that shade of red, and, you know, it doesn't match this and that, and anyway, you know, I have to eat lunch soon, and where am I going to go? And, you know, we can't do anything with a distracted mind, can we? Yeah. So, you know, there's two sets of five hindrances, yeah. One that is prominent in the Pali tradition, but we also find it in the Sanskrit tradition, and the other that we find more in the Sanskrit tradition in Maitreya's text. Okay, but the one from the Pali tradition is actually in some ways, it pinpoints the gross afflictions and the gross distractions very well. So the first one there is sensual desire. Yeah, I want, you know, sense experiences. Then malice, you know, I don't like this, how can I get my revenge? Yeah, then dullness and sleepiness, okay, so the mind that, you know, is out of it. Restlessness and regret that take our mind away from the meditation object by, you know, a lot of anxiety and, you know, what ifs and should haves. And then doubt, the mind that, you know, can't go anywhere. That's like a two-pointed needle. Yeah, so we want to really work slowing down those processes. And to do that, we have to learn the Lam Rim, which talks about the antidotes to those different afflictions. Okay, so at the same time that we're developing concentration, you know, or to put it this way, to develop concentration, we really have to know the Lam Rim very well. You know, otherwise, it becomes really just repression of emotions, which is not, you know, then you might develop serenity, but as soon as you come out, you know, everything's going to explode again. So having the understanding of why different things are wrong conceptions and other ways to view situations is very helpful in that way, you know, to lessen the afflictions. And then, of course, there's the whole way of choosing a meditative your meditation object and what you do at the beginning of your meditation session. And there's a whole long teaching on all of this, which is too short, too long for BBC. Okay. But good to learn and good to practice as much as we can. Invisible objects, it could mean like objects that, you know, are not objects of the senses. Yeah, you're meditating on the, you know, the image of the Buddha or, you know, something like that. Yeah, it doesn't mean your object to meditation is, you know, the boogeyman who's invisible. Yeah, that developing serenity is also a prerequisite for developing the different super knowledges. Okay, so the supernormal powers, walking on water, walking through walls, things like this, also clairvoyance or audio, clairaudience, okay, seeing past lives, knowing others' minds, these kinds of things. That all depends on the prerequisite for that is developing serenity, but then you have to go, you get those powers using the fourth dhyana in the form realm. Okay, so concentration is good for that. And that's a useful power to have if you're following the Bodhisattva path, because then you can know a lot about sentient beings. So it gives you the ability, if you have compassion, to really be of more benefit to them, because you can know their previous karma, their dispositions, things like that. Okay, so Bodhisattvas don't use those special powers to show off or to make money. They use them to be of benefit to sentient beings.